Hello and welcome to the Soul Files podcast. I am Levi Wolf.
And I am Abby Murphy, and together we host this podcast. We decided to make this podcast because we are passionate about the people who work at SoftwareOne.
Between Abby and I, we have 17 years of SoftwareOne experience across a number of different roles and locations, and we love getting the chance to dive deeper into the culture of the company.
This podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at some of our friends at SoftwareOne. We call them SWOMIs. The things they do at work, and even some of their hobbies and activities outside of work.
So whether you're a current employee, a prospective new SWOMI, a SoftwareOne alumni, a customer, a partner, or just a friend of the show,
we hope you enjoy this deep dive into the people of SoftwareOne and the things that make them great.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the SWO Files. We are kicking off the first of several scheduled episodes, so your feeds will not be empty. And I'm very, very, very excited for this next guest. I got to work with her for several years at SoftwareOne, and I look up to her so much. The one, the only, Lindsay Roussel. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Abby. Hey, Levi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Well, Levi, do you want to start with some rapid fire questions, or do we want to do more of the like professional side first?
Maybe let's do a little intro, because and I'm curious to dive a little bit more into those years when you worked together. But before we get to that, maybe Lindsay, tell us what your role is now, and then maybe we can go back a few steps to what you were doing when you were working with Abby.
Yep. So I am now a strategic account manager. I cover the TOLA region. So South Central, I guess, actually. So most of my clients are in Houston and Dallas, and I have one client in New Orleans, which is actually the state that I live in. I live in Louisiana in Baton Rouge. And I've been at SoftwareOne for a little over 9 years now.
9 years, man, that's awesome. So you're an account manager now, and you know, you've always been kind of in similar roles with SoftwareOne, even as the title has changed, correct? So maybe walk us through that.
Yep, for the most part. So I started back in 2014 as an account manager. I think I was, a software portfolio advisor is what we were called back then. And I covered Louisiana. And so I had had a number of accounts that were handed to me when I took over from Emily Prudham, who was moving on to Microsoft at the time. And a lot of them were already clients of mine from my previous job. And so it was really a fun transition for me. I wanted to move into a role that had more of a recurring relationship and transactional component to it. Prior to SoftwareOne, I was selling audio, video conferencing and control systems, and they had a life of about 7 years, 5 to 7 years. So once you sold one, there was a long time before there was another one, unless they had more physical spaces, built new buildings. And so when the prospect came along of working with SoftwareOne and working with clients more on an ongoing basis and having recurring needs, you know, software mostly has to be renewed every year, every 3 years. And then at the time, we were just kind of starting to get into some of our professional services and selling the Microsoft advisory services. So that was a lot of fun. And I really, I quickly grew my account base in Louisiana because I had already had really good relationships with a lot of the IT organizations in the state. And so I did that for a number of years. And then one of our colleagues who was covering some accounts in Dallas went on maternity leave, and I was kind of babysitting them for her while she was on maternity leave. And I think I closed more in that 3 month period than I had the year before with all of my Louisiana clients, because they were just bigger, they were more advanced, they were doing new things. And so she decided that she didn't want to keep traveling. She actually lived in New Orleans at the time as well. And so I said, well, I'll just keep them. And so I started covering Dallas at that time. And then after I had been doing that for a year or two, I took over as the, I'm trying to think what we were called at the time. I guess I was the Dallas area manager. And so I did that for about a year. And then we had another reorganization And I either had to take over as kind of the general manager of Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, or I could go back into an individual contributor role. And that's really what I prefer, is working with clients. I love to mentor, but I don't necessarily love to manage. And so I think I'm in my sweet spot working with clients, working with our team, kind of the, you know, the broader services and solutions teams, and then, you know, getting to do some pet projects and mentoring on the side. But I really like the client-facing role, which is where I think I'll remain pretty much forever.
Yeah, I always loved hearing that, because I do think sometimes people think to like grow in your career, you have to be a manager or a people leader. And I think it's interesting that you can be like, no, I really like working with my clients, and I can do these side passion projects, and I can mentor people, but still really do what I love day to day, which is just client facing work. So that was something that I was like observing, and I learned a lot from that, because I'm like, oh yeah, me too. Like, that's exactly what I want to be doing, is like in front of my clients, working closely with my colleagues. So that was just one of the ways that I've learned from Lindsay in the past couple of years.
Yeah. And so right when I started, my inside rep was Cam Barth, and he was kind of like baptism by fire style. He would have a conversation with a client once, and then he would want me to kind of chime in the second time we talked about it. And the third time he was like, all right, all you. And he kind of almost let me hang myself before he'd come in and rescue me. But I think that it was a really great way to quickly get on my feet at Software One. And then when he moved into another role, I had the immense honor of working with Abby, and we worked on a one-to-one capacity for a couple of years. And it was some of my favorite experiences at Software One, because, you know, when you're working with somebody and literally talking to them all day, every day, and it's somebody that you love and is your good friend, it's so much fun. And Abby came into market one time, I remember, and she, I don't remember if you stayed at my house or if you just came and visited, but my kids were in love with you. And it was just like, how fun is this?
I was so excited because Grace wanted Chick-fil-A for dinner, and I was like, I honestly have never had it and really want to try it. That's still one of my favorite memories of traveling into territory, was getting Chick-fil-A with you and Grace.
Yeah. And then Abby, as all people do, grow and progress and move on to different roles and different companies for a little while, but we're lucky we get them back. So
wasn't an easy
decision. Tried to recruit Abby back into our territory, but she's more of a New York gal than a
very much cherish those times though, Lindsay. I'm like, come to New York, let's work together in New York.
You know, I'm gonna be there. We just talked about this. I'm bringing daughter for her 13th birthday over Labor Day weekend, you'll have to come meet us somewhere.
Yeah, I'd love to. I got to hang out with Levi and his family when they were in New York, so my favorite is visitors. There was one other thing I remember, Lindsay, when we were working together, you just had Louisiana. And I remember thinking, like, this girl sold everything she can in this market. Like, get her, like, we need more. We need more. And so, like, when you started selling into Dallas, I was like, I'm not surprised to hear that you're absolutely crushing it, because I feel like you completely exhausted everything that you could in Louisiana, and you had to expand outside.
Yeah, it's a whole different world in these bigger metros.
Mm-hmm.
It's great hearing that story, and like going back to when you started in 2014 and kind of all the changes. And one thing I'm curious about, because I started in 2014 too, Lindsay, what do you remember about Software One from back then? Like, maybe, you know, the size, the type of company, like the things we were doing. Like, what's your early memories of Software One?
Well, you know, when I came in, it was right when we were trying to transition into a services company. And so a lot of people were really struggling with selling something that they used to already do. So we're talking about Microsoft Advisory Services. They're like, but I always did that. But we didn't necessarily always do that. We did a portion of it, but it's a lot more robust. And so I had the good fortune of coming in and kind of reestablishing Software One and myself all at the same time. And so it was a really great time for me to come in, because I think it's harder to pivot in like an existing relationship with a customer.
Yeah.
And I got to kind of come in fresh, but you know, everybody knew that we needed to make this change to stay, relevant. I also remember that it was when Microsoft fees could make you rich.
Oh, yeah.
And like you could literally kill your quota just by selling Microsoft and some other, you know, software reselling publishers. So it was a very different sale back then. I think that the KPIs to do a really good job from a client's perspective were, you know, respond on time, turn my quotes around on time, have them be accurate. And we've really had to flex different muscles and learn a lot more about what our customers' actual challenges and business objectives are for what we do now, because it's a totally different conversation. It's not, you know, taking an order. It's helping identify, you know, what the next thing is for their business and how we're going to help them transform. And it's a very different world, but I'm one of those weird people that like loves change. I love to like interview. My husband's like, that's very odd. Like nobody should like doing that, but I like being put on the spot. I like pivoting. I like just kind of the brain flex that it takes to think on your feet and have to make changes and look at things from a different perspective. And so I think that, you know, sometimes people can get bored and stagnant in a job or in a role. But we don't have to worry about that here, because it's almost like we move to a new company and a new job and a new role every couple of years, every 18 months, maybe.
People are always asking like, how are you still at this company for like, it'll be 11 years in August. And I'm like, I feel like I've been at like 8 companies. Like, like we change really fast.
Yeah. That's enough to keep it fresh and exciting and interesting and challenging without, you know, all of the unnecessarily challenges that come with like moving to a different organization. Like that's a whole different set of just like administrative challenges and learning new people and processes. Not to say we don't have to learn new processes and people here, but, you know, to me, it's fun to just learn how to solve new challenges and integrate that in with what we're currently and have always done.
Yeah. So Lindsay, how did you find Software One?
So Emily Purdom and I were in a networking group together.
Okay.
And that's back when I was selling audio video conferencing control systems. And I knew that I had kind of outgrown that company. And I wasn't loving going to work every day. And so I knew I wanted to make a change, and I told her one day that I was looking to make a change. And about a week or two later, she asked me if I would come to a Red Cross lunch that she was sponsoring. And so I went and had lunch with her at her table. And she asked me if I could stay a few minutes afterwards. And she told me that she had an offer from Microsoft, and it was kind of an offer that she couldn't refuse. She needed a lot of the benefits package would cover like 100% of some things that her family really needed. And she just, you know, she couldn't pass up the opportunity. And she thought that I would be a perfect person to step into her job. And I'm like, okay, so I mean, I hear you every week at our networking group talk about what you do, but I don't actually get what you do. Explain to me again, like, what actually is it that you do? And honestly, I had never thought about the concept that like, you have to buy software.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, you buy a computer, sure, software comes on it, but I mean, that kind of tells you where I came from, and just kind of the context of what Software One does for our customers. And I was like, okay, I mean, I can learn anything. You know, I mean, I learned all of the AV side of the house. I could learn this, sure. And I had really good relationships. And Emily was like, you know, that to me is key, is that you have the relationships, you have like the aptitude and the ability to learn something new. I think you would be a great fit. And a funny part of that story is that at that time, Patrick reviewed every resume that came through before they did an offer. He vetted every employee. And I remember he told Amy Horowitz, who hired me, that I would either be a hit or a miss. And it was her call if she wanted to take the risk that he would support that. But he wasn't like all excited about it. So I had several opportunities to meet him later. And he was like, well, I guess it worked out.
I did say you could be a hit.
That's funny. Aww. Yeah, Patrick, for those who might not know who are listening to this, he was our CEO and founder. And like Lindsay said, at the time, he would review every single resume globally, which is pretty, pretty impressive. So Lindsay, my perception is that, like, you know, you've been here, you know, 9 years, that you've had a lot of success at Self4One. Is there any single years or single periods of in time where you think back on, like, maybe your best year or your best time period at Self4One?
What's really funny is my best year ever was the COVID year. And it was like everything was shutting down. It was actually the same year that I was in a hybrid sales leader and individual contributor role. And I think that, you know, I think the challenge of helping somebody figure out how to ramp and figure out how to be really successful is that I attribute my success to like all of the little things in the past adding up mm-hmm. and building credibility and showing up and doing the small things right and positioning us to really be the, you know, myself and Self4One to really be the people that you call when you need something. Call us first and we'll help you figure out, you know, if this is something that we can do, if this is something that we can't do. I've always been very honest and transparent. I feel like you're not going to be viewed as a completely, I don't know if I want to use the word trustworthy, but like they're not going to have complete confidence in you until you've told them, no, we wouldn't be good at doing that. Like until you don't act like you can do everything. And you're like, you know, with that, I would recommend this company. We're really not the best. We're the best at A, B, and C, you know, go to somebody else for X, Y, and Z. And it's becoming fewer and farther between that we can say that because we do so many things. But it really helps establish credibility when they know that when they ask you something, they ask if you can do something, that you're going to be honest and that you're always going to put their interests first ahead of yours. And that's something that, you know, I mean, Abby and I, when working together, we would come across these situations all the time where we had to make a choice between, are we going to do what's in the best interest of ourselves and Self4One, or are we going to do what's in the best interest of the client? And we always do what's in the best interest of the client. And even when it's not obvious to them, it becomes obvious and transparent that we're always putting their interests first. And I care more about my client's success than I do like my quota. Now I need to hit my quota and I want to hit my quota and I want to get the paychecks associated with it. But like really helping deliver an outcome, you know, the highlight of my work life is when we're on like a project closure call and the CIO or the CTO or whoever the project sponsor is talking about what truly tangible impact we made either for their business or for them personally in their role, or if they had, you know, really important projects that we just delivered with, you know, true excellence and partnership. And I've had several that will like take time out of our project closure to, you know, highlight how Self4One really stepped up and really displayed true partnership and operated in really a nimble way to help them meet their objectives in a way that their prior providers hadn't been able to or weren't willing to. And just hearing that is, you know, that's it. That's what I'm here to do. And those opportunities that we have and the ability to deliver and the team that we have at Self4One that really steps up and delivers in that manner, you know, all of that combined, I really think is what has led to all of my success at Self4One.
It's interesting doing these podcasts. Sometimes to me, like a core value just comes through loud and clear.
I knew you were going to do this, Levi.
Humility. I mean, a lot of salespeople would have said, you know, oh, I made President's Club this year. I was top 10 this year, because I know you have a lot of those accolades, but I loved your answers. You turned it back to, you know, the customer and to being happy when they've had success. So yeah, I really heard humility there. That was awesome. Great.
I wrote down in my little notes, customer focus, passion, and integrity as well. Like, you're really knocking out all of the values, Lindsay, with that answer.
Well, we've got a couple more core values to cover. And I think some of the questions that you sent me in advance will tap into some more of those here in a minute.
Ooh, so we might get to all seven. That's great.
Oh, I love it.
I know for sure I have at least one more work-related question. I don't know about you, Abby, and then we can go to something else. But maybe just diving into the culture a little bit, because, you know, Abby and I both spent a lot of time in the headquarters at Software One, and I'm still there. And so, you know, that's, I think, a lot of where we draw our culture from and from the people. But curious to get, you know, answer from everyone else too, like, especially you being probably sometimes the only person in your region or depending on where you're covering. What do you feel like is special and unique about the Software One culture, especially being here as long as you've been?
You know, I think the fact that I have worked remotely for my entire 9 years at Software One makes those times when we're together all that much more meaningful. Some of the relationships that I've developed at Software One are relationships that I'll keep for my whole life. And it's, you know, some people that aren't even at Software One anymore. And we constantly stay connected. You know, we celebrate each other's successes. We know each other's families. It's just very much of a family environment. And I was really, you know, I was reflecting on what has happened, you know, what are the things that happen at Software One to make it feel that way? And whenever I see people that are at different companies, I'm always like, there's no way that they feel about that company like they do about Software One. Like, you know, they may like what they're doing right now, but they don't like the people as much as they loved. I mean, who knows? Maybe
they
I could be wrong. But I feel like they're like, yeah, it's a great job. And I mean, that team that I had at Software One was really something special. But when I think about some of the small things that add up to be really big things, I think that Software One has really come through for me and for a lot of my coworkers in some really tangible ways that make me really committed to Software One. So back in 2016, we adopted my second child. And if you've ever been on maternity leave or family leave or any of that, once you leave, like, you have to wait like 3 or 4 days and then you apply for short-term disability. Like, you get everything set up in advance, but you actually submit it all. There's like a waiting period. So a couple of days after the quote unquote short-term disability starts. And so, I don't know, she was probably 3 or 4 days old and I submitted the paperwork and it was declined by our short-term disability, provider because, the leave that's provided by short-term disability is actually for recovery from childbirth. And the HR partner that I had been working with throughout all of this didn't realize that. I didn't realize that, you know, last time I just took short-term disability and got paid 60% of my paycheck and all was well. And so when it got declined, I kind of had a little freak out panic moment.
Yeah.
And, I called HR and they were kind of like, hang on just a minute. Let us figure this out. And I think that Patty had been on the job for maybe about 72 hours. we should go look up her start date because it was like her first week at Software One. And we got on a call and I'm probably crying and freaking out. And she was like, look, we're going to figure this out. I don't want you to worry. I don't want this to be the defining memory of one of the first days that you have your new child. Go be a mom. we will be back in touch very soon with the plan that we're going to come up with, and it is going to be fine, and do not stress about this. Promise me that you're not going to worry about this until I call you back. And I was like, okay. And so the next day she called me, and they had worked everything out. Instead of short-term disability paying the 60%, Software One was just going to pay it. They kind of changed my job description a little bit, so I was still like actively employed. I was technically supposed to have a once-a-week phone call with my manager to report on whatever. And she'd call me, and she'd be like, hey, everything good? Haven't had the baby? All right, talk to you later. And, you know, when I got back, Patty called me, and she said, I was wondering if you would help us write an adoption policy for Software One, so that it can be fully covered. And it's not only fully covered just as any parental leave is covered now, but we also have financial assistance for anybody that is adopting. And so it's just one of those situations where, you know, companies, a lot of companies focus on the bottom line. And yes, Software One has a very strong focus on the bottom line.
Yeah.
But when it's really come down to it, Software One has proven to me and to others on my team that I've seen in very specific situations where they truly care about the people, and they want our people to be happy, well-rounded, mentally healthy people, and will do what it takes to make sure that that happens. And so, you know, that was kind of on a macro level dealing with the head of HR. And then, you know, just on the South Central team, we've had a number of people who have had really challenging things that they've gone through personally with their family. And my current leader, Chelsea, her perspective on that is that everybody is going to have a time in their life where they cannot give 100% to their job. And to act like anything else is the reality is just wrong. And as a team, we have a commitment that we'll step in for each other when we have those times where we can't give 100%. And so sometimes that means that we're having to give 110% and 120%, and we're all collectively doing that to be able to hold space for that person who physically, mentally, and emotionally cannot be there at that time. And I just love that true sense of family and supporting one another and being there for one another and helping out when somebody needs it and knowing that people will be there to do that for you when you need that. I just, you know, I hope that other companies are like that, but I've never experienced it like I have at Software One.
Yeah, both those examples are incredible. I have like chills hearing about it. It gives me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, me
puts
too.
Me in my swell happy place, as we like to say in the pod.
it's so great. I mean, because like I didn't know that story, right? But it's so awesome to hear that Software One did that for you, and you know, it all worked out good, and you kept saying family. I mean, that was really, really cool. Feels like the eighth core value, maybe family. It's hard to talk about anything after.
My husband's company's done stuff like that too, and he's been there 15 years. And you know, he's had tons of people approach him to come work at their company or to take over their company. And it's just like, when a company comes through for you with your family and with really just, you know, the most important things in your life, then it just changes, you know, it changes your perspective. It changes your commitment level. And it's not just a job that you could walk away from. It's it's a relationship that's very important to you.
Yeah. That I was just saying, it's hard to pivot to another topic after that. That was really good. But we can maybe go to a lighter note with some kind of outside of work rapid fire questions. Does that sound good, Abby?
Yeah, I love that. One thing that I for sure wanted to have you talk about, it's not quite on this list, but I remember we were driving back from Lake Geneva to like the airport in Milwaukee. And I learned from you, Lindsay, that at one point you like owned a smoothie truck or like a smoothie. Like, can you tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial endeavors on that front?
Sure. My my good friend that is my CPA calls that my real life MBA. So one of my good friends, went back in 2007, her husband was killed in a car accident, and she was a banker and she just really didn't love work and wanted to do something totally different. And so we talked for about a year about, you know, what do you want to do? What would really bring you fulfillment? And she was into health and fitness and nutrition. And so we decided at first that we were going to buy a Smoothie King franchise. And so we were talking to Smoothie King. And once we figured out kind of like the geographical areas that were available and not already purchased, it was going to have to be farther away than we were willing to go from our homes. And so we decided to kind of pivot and look for something new, a new concept. And we found a franchise called Maui Wowie Hawaiian Coffees and Smoothies. And they had two different business models. One was like the storefront that you could do, but one was an event-based model, and it was a much lower barrier to entry, much less upfront capital, a lot less risk. And they had these 1,000-pound industrial tiki huts. and we bought a big trailer, and we started out with two tiki huts, and we started meeting with all of the event centers in the greater Baton Rouge area, and got contracts with LSU and with the River Center, which is our big event center, and with a lot of the sports complexes. And we would come put up our tiki hut, and we would sell coffees and smoothies, mainly smoothies, because it's usually hot in Louisiana. And then through our contract with LSU, and the River Center, we actually, you can make smoothies or you can make daiquiris. So we got a liquor license, and we did daiquiris as well. And we did several music festivals and a lot of concerts and all of the football games and baseball games at LSU. And it was a lot of fun until we started having kids. She got remarried and started having kids, and I started having kids. And it was a very physically intensive type of endeavor. And so we started hiring people, and we hired a manager. And at one point it was like all the money that we were making was going to other people. And so we sold it, but we learned a lot. We had a lot of fun. And I now know that I have no desire to own my own business. I always want, and my dad has always owned his business too. And so I want to work for an entrepreneurial company where I can kind of have that creative liberty to kind of build my own business, but I'll let somebody else take the super heavy risk part of it.
And you did this before the telecom stuff that?
It was at the same time.
Same time. Okay.
So I was never doing that full time. I sold it, I think probably about a month before I started at Software One.
Oh, wow.
So we had it for about 6 years.
Wow. Yeah, that was something that I think I worked with you for probably like 2 or 3 years at that point. And I was like, I'm sorry. You add an entire smoothie like empire, if you will. And I didn't know about it.
I can sling a smoothie. I can make like 40 smoothies in 5 minutes.
Wow. That's awesome. I know we're probably at like a 5 minute warning.
Oh so my gosh, Abby, we have hardly gotten into the rapid fire.
I know. I was going to say, Abby, you know Lindsay pretty well. So maybe I'll let you kind of guide the next couple questions.
Yeah. Lindsay, what were you like as a teenager growing up?
I always wanted to know why.
Oh.
You wanted me to do something. So my dad didn't love this quality about me as a teenager. He appreciates it as an adult. And as I start to see it in my children, I have this like kind of healthy appreciation while also realizing how ridiculously irritating it is to a parent when at some point I just need you to do what I'm asking you to do. But I, you know, one of the things that I think, and I see this in my oldest daughter right now too, I had a bunch of different friend groups. I was in a bunch of different friend groups. I was never in one group where we all did everything together. Mm-hmm. I had my like different groups and I ended up going on 3 different senior trips because they were all like going different places. So it worked out well for me there. but I bring that up because I love people and I love that I can connect with people from all different walks of life and learn so much from people. And I'm not somebody who can't have my opinion changed. And I like to put myself in positions to learn about different people's perspectives. And, you know, it really does change your perspective on life when you realize that your opinions are just kind of the lens through which you've lived your life and experiences mm-hmm. you've had. When you can broaden that a little bit, you're like, wow, that is simply my opinion. It is not a fact.
And what about, what are like some of your hobbies and interests?
Well, we are leaving in a couple of hours to go to our lake house, which is pretty much what we do anytime we don't have something going on. At this season of my life, I'm usually either working or taxi driving my daughters do all of their extracurricular activities. I know one of the questions that you put is, what's your favorite TV show? I haven't watched a TV show that was not a children's show in probably a year, which is not a good thing. I need to have some of my own little escapes. But yeah, right now we watch a lot of motorcycles and like learning our shapes and colors videos for my 2-year-old. By the time everybody's in bed and my house is cleaned up, I go to bed because I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the life of a parent. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then outside, you go to the lake house a lot, but you travel quite a bit too.
I do. You know, it's slowed down a little bit. It's harder to travel with all of these children that I have, but, I did. So I'll flip over the humility card. I did finally get to go to President's Club last year, in Germany. We went to Berlin.
Yay.
And I had my husband come join me after the official part ended. And we went from Berlin to Munich, and we did Oktoberfest.
Oh.
And then we went to a little village in the Bavarian region of Germany called Oberammergau. And we went to see a passion play that they've been doing for the last like 400 or 500 years. They do it every 10 years. And the cool thing about that is my grandparents had gone either in 1970 or 1980.
Oh, wow.
And they had delayed it because of COVID. And so they were doing it in 2022, which is when we happened to be there. So we had to go. There was a 5-hour passion play in German. It's about 36 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
but it was just one of the coolest experiences. And then we ended that trip up in Salzburg. And most of our travels are either like snow skiing, or we go to the Caribbean, or we go to places around here. And it really kind of got the global travel itch going. But when I got home, my kids told me I'm not ever allowed to leave for 2 weeks anymore.
So that
lots of family time. So yeah. Your oldest is 13, your youngest is 2. How old is your
Lily
middle child?
Six.
Lily? Yeah.
She is 6. Yep. She'll be 7 in October.
That's wild.
Just mind-blowing. Yeah.
I hate to be the guy who says we have to end, because I know Abby could probably have 50 more questions.
Oh, yeah. I could talk all day to you guys.
We're on a tight time crunch. I know you've got some family stuff going on after this, Lindsay. So we can wrap it up there. Any last things that you didn't get to say yet or you wanted to end on, Lindsay?
I don't think so. I just am, always looking forward to seeing what Software One becomes mm-hmm. and along for the ride. And I'm always the first one to speak up and ask questions and try to figure out the best way to approach something. So I love to collaborate with people, and I have lots of like random little one-on-ones. So would love to connect with anybody that wants to connect.
That's great. And I think, we probably need to get you back for a second episode, because I feel like we left a lot untapped. But thank you so much for joining. For me, it was great to get to know you. I know you and Abby are tight, so that was awesome. And yeah, we look forward to having you back on a future episode.
It was lots of fun. Thanks for having me.
That's been another episode of The Swole Files. Music, editing, and mixing by Brandon Avenger.
And we love to hear from you, so send us your feedback and future guest recommendations. We're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, so be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.